Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at BJGeekNation.com.
Your driver's license is important so you can get back and forth to work, get your kids to school, and back and forth to daycare. If your license has been suspended because you can't pay your tickets, you can't do any of those things. Let's talk about Chapter 13 bankruptcy. You may have heard that tickets cannot be discharged, but they can be dealt with in a Chapter 13 case. Why not come in for a free consultation? The chapter you choose will make all the difference to your getting back, legally, on the road. Let's design a plan to pay off your tickets and restore your license immediately. I'm Attorney Travis Gagné. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. You got to check out this video on the BJ and Migs page of KISW.com because this dude, he made a big scene by knocking display cases over. Why? Because of the wrong order that he got at a Richmond, Virginia McDonald's. He then attacked police officers when they approached him over the situation.
All of this very justifiable.
Oh, yeah. Just because he got the wrong order. And, yeah, we got the audio. You're going to hear this guy. Here he's yelling at one of the employees about his order and destroying property.
I paid for food.
Don't give me money.
I paid for food, yeah?
Oh, and he cut the line to be do all this crap, man.
That's the worst part right there.
So how many times has the order been screwed up for him to hit this breaking point? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not to say that it's right, but I mean, this guy had to hit a breaking point.
Oh, my gosh,
he won't stop.
Yeah, he's falling down. I mean, this is Michael Douglas right off the bat. I mean, this is just...
I mean, if you forget the sweet and sour sauce, completely understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But, you know, people make mistakes. You could just be like, hey, you gave me the wrong order, and they'll be like... Oh, sorry to hear that, sir. We'll hook you up with your actual order. It's a rather easy process.
Yeah. And then, of course, the cops are there. And, well, he decides, well, you know what? I'm going to get involved with you guys. Which it's like, okay, dude, this is when you're really losing it. Because, yeah, you just got your flip-flops. You got your cargo shorts, kind of, whatever. That's all you got. And they got, like, weapons. So, but you're like, I don't care. I'm going to go after him.
Dude, he's riding high on
order.
Yeah, he's riding high on adrenaline, man. He just trashed a McDonald's.
Wow, man.
This guy sucks.
I have been angry, but I don't think I've been that angry. You know, I my brain goes, dude, you're about to get your ass kicked. You need to cut it out. You know, words is where I always stopped. I don't remember ever like getting physical where I would like break stuff on people and put myself in a position where somebody would come and kick my ass. I was always a coward that way. It's like, ooh, I want to do this. My brain goes, if you do that, someone's going to kick your ass. Okay, I won't do that.
So when do you think this guy like hit that moment where he's like, that was stupid? You know what I mean? Like, we talked earlier about, like, the moments where you realize, okay, that was a really bad idea. Like, do you think, because I've had that, I think we've all probably had, like, a stupid moment of rage where, like, you threw the remote control down on the ground and it cracks and you're just like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
That felt good for, like, a half a second while I was flinging it. And then I realized I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
Do you think after, like, he knocked over X amount of display cases that as he's walking out, he's like, maybe I was a little too aggressive on that.
No.
Or no.
Because he got involved with the cops.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think when he got involved in an intimate relationship with a billy club, I think maybe that's when he probably thought this was a dumb idea.
Because this is kind of like the extreme version of the person that goes on social media to bitch at a company, but never bothered to at least just talk to them like a human being. You know, you see that sometimes, like someone will be like, Like, let's just use this for instance. Like, okay, you got the wrong order. And he just sends a big tweet out there. It's just like, F you, McDonald's, you gave me the wrong order. As opposed to maybe just sending a message, sent, you know, a direct message, because a lot of these companies have their things open. It's kind of like the equivalent of talking to a manager. Like, hey, you guys messed up my order. I was wondering if I could get my actual order. You know what I mean? Like, you see that so often where people just jump, they'll crap over an airline. And then the airline's like, well, you could have just sent us a message and we would have been willing to talk to you. Like, you didn't need to be such a jerk about it.
No. That's not how it works, Steve. That's not how the internet works. You go on the internet and you basically just, you know, spread all your upset and your anger. And that's how you get results.
Here's a crazy thing,
though. You don't talk to people. What are you, nuts?
Every time, talk to people? I've had issues before with certain things and I sent a direct message because, oddly enough, I feel like customer service on social media is a lot better than like trying to call their number or something along those lines. Like, I'll just send a direct message because a lot of them have their DMs open, and I'll just send them, hey, this is what's going on, and they get back to you quick, and more often than not, they resolve the issue. And I think they probably appreciate that you didn't turn it into like this public outcry.
Yeah, you know, being a boomer, I have to get used to that, Steve, because I'm so used to talking to a person on the phone. But more and more, the instances you're talking about is like better customer service is just coming with through an online communication.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. And I have to get used to that because I'm not going to go online and talk to somebody. They're never going to help me. But
slide
more
into their DMs. They like it.
Dude, it's so cool. I mean, you're right, dude. It is. I have gotten so much great resolution, even if it's not been what I wanted, but the resolution has come quickly via online communication, whether it be email, social media, even texting, or the little chat line. Sometimes they have little chat bots that are set up or chat situations. Would you like to chat with somebody right now? And it's like, oh, yeah, all right. Yeah, I guess I'll see if there's a real person there.
Yeah, but then you get into an argument with them on the chat line, and you realize you're just arguing with a robot that's just picking up on catchwords. And you're like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? I'm trying to, like, get results by being more stern, and all I'm doing is just giving this robot a certain catchword
or phrase
or whatever.
Not going to comment on that. I have no comment on whether or not that may or may have happened.
Yeah, calling is a waste of time. Because gone are the days where you just hit zero and it gives you straight to someone who talks.
Yeah.
You have to go through so many prompts. It's actually quicker just to send a direct message and you probably get a response quicker.
Yeah, and it's something I've got to learn because that's just not how customer service was done, you know, as I was going through life. And so this is the way to do it now. And, you know, it does get you results. And in a way, I feel like they don't mind dealing with you because they don't have to hear your voice. They don't have to hear your anger. There's like maybe this sort of feeling of separation, which allows them to be reasonable. And I'm like, all right, well, you know what? I'm more reasonable when I'm typing. You know what I mean? Because when you type out the word, you guys are a bunch of effing a-holes, and you're typing that out, it's a lot different than when it just flies out of my mouth so quickly. You know, it's like I can go, maybe I shouldn't say effing a-holes if I want this person on the chat line to help me. So instead, I'll be more reasonable. So it does end up working out well.
I guess not all the time, obviously, because some airlines don't even respond to the DMs. One time, the only time they do respond is when you slam them publicly, especially one certain place, because they're really bad. I feel like if you reached out and you did your best and nobody gets back to you, they're being like unhelpful, you know, then do whatever you got to do. If you got to get obviously not knocking over displays at McDonald's, but, you know, if you need to make it a public tweet or message out there for people to read, at least you try to handle it on a private, professional level. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, respectful level, not professional.
And right now, it's a tough time for everybody because of the fact that people are not going back to work. And it's an epidemic in the work world. So if you're not getting the kind of service that you expected pre-COVID, you may not for a little bit because the folks that used to man all that stuff don't want to go back to work until they actually have to. A lot of places are not forcing folks to be evicted if they can't pay their rent. And, some states are still giving out checks to people. So there are folks not going back to work. And, we talked to a few people in the restaurant industry. And I know in other industries, including the airline industry, they're having a bit of a tough time getting everybody manning all the positions that they used to be able to man easily pre-COVID.
Oh, this person, I sent a DM to Vans over a defective shoe issue. They replied right away and sent a gift certificate for a new pair of shoes.
Yeah.
See, sliding into the DM, sometimes it works, just not with women. It typically doesn't work. So I say I get a better response in customer service if I do a message on a company's Facebook page. And you know what? They're usually pretty nice and they're helpful when I do that, as opposed to rude when I talk on the phone.
Yeah, if you put it right on their Facebook page and you're nice, that gives them an opportunity to look like heroes. And you know, it's not a DM. You know, you're not privately messaging them. It surely gives, you know, if they're not monitoring their Facebook page and someone says, "Hey, I got a legitimate whatever," but it does give them a great opportunity. Yeah, that's the way to do it, man. I just have to be that old dog learning that new trick. That's my thing.
Yep, get with it, buddy.
Wow! All right. Wow. Very you're taking out all your anger on me. You gonna come over and just knock stuff over now?
Yes.
All right. Fair.
If you get my order wrong, I'm knocking over your displays.
So speaking of food, which again, food is a big issue. I mean, food is for a lot of us, myself included. If S is going down, I got to get my food to soothe myself. Mm-hmm. It helps me stay mentally balanced. And according to a new poll, Americans, oh man, do they love their snacks so much. That 69%.
Nice.
Nice. And that's really the only reason we're reading the story. Thank you. Next story.
These guys read really random studies and surveys, but everything is 69%. I'm starting to notice a trend.
There is a trend. How about that? 69% of Americans say they always have some kind of snack with them when they're on the go.
Huh. Well, I bet Vicky.
Yeah.
Let's go into Vicky's purse. How many snacks do you think Vicky's got in her purse?
She has her entire refrigerator.
I'm guessing at least three snacks. Okay, we have, oh my gosh, she has a full box of Triscuits. Yeah, not like a travel box, like the actual, like the big ass box.
Wow.
Why do you have those? I didn't want to waste plastic bags. And I just eat them in the car so I don't fall asleep.
Those are hella tasty, too.
Right. They have rosemary and olive oil.
Those are literally the best.
Is that all you have?
Wow. I mean, that's a full box, though.
I mean, fair, but normally she has, like, mac and cheese. She has, like, a couple of frozen meals.
Some kind of, like, energy bar.
Energy bar.
I do have a Costco chicken bake frozen in the freezer that I left here. So, does that count?
No.
Yeah.
It's not in your bag
anymore. It's not in your purse.
Yeah. I can't eat it.
In my car, I always have gum. I used to put, like, other things, like, but I would eat them, and it was, like Sour Patch Kids and... like almonds, and but I would get a little too aggressive and eat like way too many servings of it. Whereas with gum, at least I don't feel as bad if I have like two sticks of gum.
I got gum.
Of course, she's got gum. Yeah,
she two packs of gum.
Yeah, Steve, I wonder then if really you're like a lot of like almost half of Americans actually fill up on snacks and call it a meal.
Oh no,
I've totally done that before.
No, snacks are just that. Snacks.
Oh, really? So even if you have a meal's worth of snacks, you're still going to have a meal?
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know what? That's what I take my hat off to you.
I mean, sometimes it's just either too hot or just too much to really cook. So I've had like chips and salsa for dinner.
Oh, totally.
I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying it happens.
So see, that's for me. I always have a frozen dinner. So you guys don't do the frozen dinners, but is that why? Because you can, I mean, all it takes is like 3.5 minutes and I have at least a meal.
Now, my wife is all about like, you know, making meals and having to be healthy and stuff. Yeah, so I don't really have the, I'm very fortunate. Like
I remember those days.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
If I actually like try to eat enough snacks to make myself full, I am never full. I'll just snack all night long.
Oh, I could just eat snacks all night long too. Yeah. Same here. Like just handful of like nuts or, you know, chips or whatever it may be. I'm just like.
And that's your meal, though, right?
No.
Oh, you still? Oh,
no, that would not be a meal. That's a snack.
I'm going to be hungry, and I'm going to go to bed angry.
Right, I'm going
to
have a bag of popcorn, and be like, well, that constitutes a meal. I'm like, no. That doesn't count.
Well, that's one thing if it's a bag of popcorn. But, I mean, if you go full boat, I mean, and have, like, multiple bags of popcorn.
Like I've done, like, chips and guacamole, and literally that has been my dinner just because I've been home alone. And it's like, if the wife's not there, it's like, why am I going to prepare a full meal just for myself? It's just way easier to, like, you know, maybe stick some chips and cheese in a microwave and be good.
Exactly. Yeah, see, like, chips and cheese microwave is the best.
I'm fortunate with my wife who like wants to make meals and like does a really amazing job with it.
You said that. How many times are you going to hold that over my head? Oh, my wife, she's amazing.
Well, I had more to it before you cut me off there, champ.
Oh, well, it's the second time I got to hear about the wife of the year, champ.
I had to preface it, and now it's not even worth it because I had to preface it again. So that being said, like, you know, my wife makes me all my meals. But when I'm left to my own devices, then all bets are off because I'll just be like, you know what sounds good for dinner? 50 chicken McNuggets.
I mean, that does sound delicious for dinner.
Right. So. Now, that's an appetizer, isn't it? Aren't chicken McNuggets appetizers?
Dinner. No, they're not. They offer it as a meal.
No, they're. I always thought that if it's small enough that you can have multiple little pieces in your mouth, that's an appetizer to me.
If you cut up a steak, it's multiple little pieces in your mouth. Does that count as a snack?
Well, that's you're doing it yourself. But if they hand deliver, I mean, you think about when you go get apps, you get mozzarella sticks, you get jalapeno poppers.
Chicken nuggets are not an app.
But they're the size of all of those things. Why wouldn't that be an appetizer?
Go to McDonald's and look at the menu. On their combo meals, Chicken McNuggets is a combo meal. You can get it with a drink and french fries.
I'm arguing with them. I'm not, you know, you're right, Steve. I know it says it on McDonald's menu. And I'm like, no, those are an appetizer. I also am going to get a burger with that 20 pack.
I'm not saying I haven't done that before. I'm just saying that it constitutes as a meal.
No, don't call it a meal. If you call it a meal, that means I can't get any burgers.
Not like a four-piece chicken nugget thing. Like, that's just silly.
That's a snack.
That doesn't count.
Wait, is it a snack? Wait a minute. Is it an appetizer? Is it a snack? Is it a meal? What the hell's happening?
Tomato, tomato. It depends on how you want to look at it.
So it's the number of the. So if I
ten
get
or
the,
more is a meal.
What if you get the appetizer platter? You know where they give you like everything at a restaurant, and they go, "Here you go." Is that becoming a meal, or is that still an appetizer?
Is it on the appetizer list?
And are you sharing it with anybody? Because if you're the only one eating it, that's your meal.
That's true.
Oh, even though it says appetizer.
I've had appetizers as a meal. Because like some restaurants, like I think of Dufour's in Renton, they have awesome chicken wings, but they're not, they're in their appetizer section. But you can get 12 of them. I'm like, that's perfect. That's a meal.
Why is chicken wings, why are they an appetizer when you're actually eating like a chicken as opposed to a nugget, which is not, how is that a meal?
I mean, you're asking me questions I don't have answers to, BJ. Right. I'm just following the rules.
And I love Danny. Danny goes, I would never have snacks as a meal, but I would have appetizers as a meal.
Minus chips. I feel like if you have 10 of something that's being given to you, that constitutes as a meal. 10 or more.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh.
Like if you had 10 mozzarella sticks.
That's a lot.
You're having it as a meal.
Oh, that's an appetizer.
Yeah, that's an appetizer.
DJ just wants to label everything as a snack or an appetizer so he doesn't feel guilty about eating more food later.
Well, look,
which is fine.
That's a given.
Yeah.
You're right, Vicky. There's no way they're going to turn my appetizers into a meal. Then I can't have my meal.
I finally understand his reasoning.
Yeah. So if they start calling desserts a meal, I'm out.
So is it 50 chicken McNuggets? I'm a big guy. I get full of 20 McNuggets. You're quite the pig, Steve.
Wow.
Oink, oink, mother effer.
Yeah.
I could eat 50, no problem.
Wow.
I still want to try to do 100.
I do too.
Yeah, I would, Steve, I mean, I think 50 is nothing compared to what I see you put away for sushi, so.
Dude, forget about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, McNuggets got nothing on what you can put away for sushi.
All you can eat sushi is a troublesome thing for me. Yeah. This is a challenge in my eyes.
Oh, yeah, I've seen you, and you know what? You have always risen to the challenge. Even I've sat there and said, I'm the guy that used to eat a whole dozen of donuts. And I mean, Steve is impressing me with his consumption of sushi.
Well, I just keep eating until I'm racing against the wall. Because eventually that sushi wall is going to grow in my stomach. Like the rice expands.
Oh, right.
So I'm trying to just fit as many as I can before that hits me. Because once that hits me, I'm done eating for the rest of the day.
You don't have a panic that by the time you get the notification from high command, hey, dude, we have no more room, that all of a sudden you're going to put too much room in there and you're going to just blow the whole place out?
No. But I just know that, all right, I'll text my wife and be like, don't worry about making me dinner because I'm not going to eat for the rest of the day.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. And then next question, do you still have dinner?
No.
Oh, wow. See, I would probably still have dinner. I'd figure by the time in a few hours, you know, it's I'd have room for something.
Now, post-dinner snack, you know it.
You still have room for snack. It's not dinner.
I'm ready for
that
popcorn.
Don't make me dinner, but still, honey, get that post-dinner snack ready.
By the time it's time for popcorn and a movie, I'll be ready.
Oh, man. You're just making me so jealous. I miss the time when people prepared food for me. Now it's just me and my microwave.
Well, you know, if you go to an all-you-can-eat sushi place, they'll prepare that food for you.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's how restaurants
work,
BJ.
What about my post-dinner snack? Who's going to prepare that?
I mean, you could just, it's popcorn. You could buy a bag.
I could, or I could have your wife bring it over. You see what I'm saying? You know?
Yes.
I could have a wife bring it to me.
Or maybe just have your wife live with you again, and then you'll have the problem solved.
Okay, now you're talking crazy. I have much better chance of getting your wife to drive from Puyallup to Mercer Island to deliver me popcorn than I have to get my own wife to live with me. I tell you, it's even odds at best.
No,
okay?
Unless those odds are zero. Yes, you're right.
I'm telling you right now, I have a better chance. Hey, here's a question for you. Why are people paying $700 for a 40-year-old piece of wedding cake? I'm going to tell you why. And I'll do that at 8:18 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. A 40-year-old piece of wedding cake is going to hit the auction block in about 2 weeks. 40-year-old piece of wedding cake. And it's expected to sell for about $700.
$700 for a 40-year-old cake?
Yum.
Is this one of Buddy's cakes? Yeah, Hoboken style, baby.
Wow. Yeah, really. Now, the reason, I suppose, makes, I guess, some sense to some people. Apparently, it's a piece of cake from the wedding of Prince Charles and Princess Diana, which, of course, you know, happened back in 1981.
So it's like a piece of history.
And it was, the slice came from one of 23 cakes that were made for the ceremony. It also comes with a wedding program, ceremony details, and a breakfast menu. It was last sold in 2008. And, again, I'm surprised it's only $700. I mean, for the reason that this thing is important, I would expect it to be more than $700. They're saying it appears to be exactly in the same good condition as when originally sold, but we advise against eating it, which, it's 40 years old.
I think I might want to try a bite.
Yeah, I've said this before.
It's frozen, right?
Yeah, I've said it before. My wife and I froze a piece because that was a tradition. You'd take a piece of your wedding cake and freeze it. And we tried it a year later. It was not good.
Yeah, we did that. I think we had a slice, if I remember correctly, and there was a point where we're both like, we're never going to fight out of this. Why are we wasting up freezer space with this thing? So we just tossed it.
Oh, man. See, now that's something where maybe you would keep it and just show your kids. This was our wedding cake.
No, that's why we showed it together. We probably could have sold it for like $7 on the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess that depends upon the person. I think I would have found it gross, but I wonder if, like, Sarah would have been like, oh, that is pretty awesome that that's your wedding cake. Because, you know, they weren't around for that.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like a picture does enough justice.
That's like you said,
who's going to eat it?
For you and me, but to have that to hold in your hand, like an heirloom kind of a thing that you pass from freezer to freezer. I mean, that would be kind of cool if you have a freezer and you go, this is for your great-great-grandma's wedding cake. I think then I'd be a little impressed, like, whoa, really? That's the cake that they had at their wedding? You know, and maybe I'd thaw it just to see it, but then refreeze it again, maybe? Yeah, but only just to look at it and go, wow, that's pretty wild.
Someone said, you want to see my wedding cake? I'm like, no. Show me a picture before it was sliced into. Like, that's when it looks cool.
It's about as interesting as, like, the old school slideshows. You want to see our slides of our vacation? Nah.
Yeah. But what about, like, a timepiece or, you know, like a family heirloom usually means nothing to anybody else. You know, but if it's just somebody goes, well, this was my watch that, or this was my blank that my granddad had. Don't you have anything like that, Steve? Something from, like, a relative of yours or anything?
Yeah, it's not a piece of food, though. I mean,
I don't have any
I have my grandfather's old chocolate chip cookie he never finished.
Oh, no, really?
No, I don't. But I have, like, my grandfather, when he passed away, my uncle gave me his little pendant that he would wear all the time. And it was a pendant of a scorpion because he was a Scorpio. And so I had it. And I was like, first I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll start wearing that in tribute to him. And I'm like, I don't wear any jewelry except for a wedding ring. I'm not, like, a jewelry guy. And also I felt like I'd lose it at some point. So I just kind of put it away. It's somewhere safe. And it's not worth anything, like, value-wise. Not, like, any kind of fancy gold. It's probably just, like, you know, fake gold, if anything. But it was something that he loved. So then I just took the scorpion pendant brought it to my tattoo artist at the time and had him tattoo it on me.
Oh, you won't lose that.
Right. So I have a giant scorpion on my forearm, but then I didn't think about it. Then everybody would, anywhere I would go before I got the sleeve done when it was like really prominent. Now you have to kind of look for it. But at the time when it was really prominent on my arm, everyone's like, oh, you're Scorpio too? And then it got to a point where I finally was like, yeah, man, totally.
Scorpio.
Because it was like, it was a tough thing after I didn't know the person. So I was like, do I want to have small talk about having my dead grandfather's pen? It's a long story.
Yeah.
And at the time when I first got it done, it would trigger like sad memories because I'm like, oh man, I miss him. You know, now I feel more, I don't get too emotional about it now because it's been so long. And, you know, it's now just like a happy memory. But so I finally got to a point where I'm just like, yeah, man, I'm totally a Scorpio.
Oh, yeah.
Stick together.
Man. Yeah, I wouldn't pay $700 for anybody's frozen cake. I wouldn't pay that. No, I wouldn't do that. That's,
like, what do you do after you drop that $700? And then you go home and, like, you're like, hey, guys, you want to see what I just bought? It's Princess Di and Charles cake. And people are like, okay, kind of weird, but cool. I paid $700 for it. I'm like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, there are some royal files, though, that really just, they love the royal family.
Yeah, I'm sure that she has, or whoever bought it has, like, a Facebook group or something that they can post that in and be very happy with. But, yeah, if you just show it to, like, I don't want to call them normies, but at the same point, just, like, people who might not be interested in the royal family.
Normies. Anyway, you're not a normie, but I get what you're doing.
Yeah, right. It's like, oh, yeah, good job.
I've also never been one of those people to, like, even when they, like, show the weddings, like, of the, you know, Prince Harry or... Mm-hmm.
I don't care about that.
I was like, why are we getting... Like, people, like, that I knew got done up and, like, had, like, full-on brunches and, you know, to celebrate and watch the wedding. And I'm like, why don't... What?
It's a weird fascination that some people have with it. I think it's because some people, kids, I mean, more often than not females, but not just females, but more often than not, like, wanted to grow up to become a princess. Yeah. And then then the who's involved with a princess? The queen. And then the king gets involved as well.
But I mean, don't we all do that to some capacity? Like for the Super Bowl, don't you all dress up in the jerseys and get the food and put the face paint on and get all excited?
I don't put face paint on.
Well, there's some people that do.
Vicky's right. There are people that do. Then there's folks that get all dusted up for the Kentucky Derby and they have their big derby parties.
I've
seen that.
Yeah, but with football, those are cool people. Like the people that do that for like a royal wedding are losers.
Nothing alike.
Right, Danny?
Yeah. Nothing alike, huh?
I forgot about that. You're right.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's that one small difference. The rest of them are losers.
Get they're not with it.
Jeez, yeah. I that went right over my head too, Steve. You're right. I mean, you can't really compare losers to football fans.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really.
Somebody
really
sent us a link on Twitter. It's from a story. I mean, not Twitter, on the text line, and it's a story from a couple of years ago. And apparently, this couple, they've been eating their wedding cake for nearly 50 years.
Yeah. Huh?
So every year. On their anniversary for the last 49 years, now it's probably even longer because the store is a couple years old, they'd have a slice of their wedding cake, or at least crumbs, because obviously they're getting less and less at this point. Something fun and romantic that they do.
Okay, they must
food poisoning is fun. Yeah.
It's frozen. It can't. You know, it can't be bad for you.
Well, a little tiny bite. I mean.
Yeah, it didn't taste good, and that was in a year, unless they've really got a great freezing system, and I just didn't do it well enough. Yeah, because it did not taste good at all. But I guess if you're doing a crumb, I mean, it's a cool idea. I mean, that is your wedding cake. I mean, for 50 years, that's kind of a cool
thing. Oh.
That's how to keep a guy, by the way. If you come up with a man mission thing like that, look, I want to do this every year, he'd be like, oh, I can't leave her now because I committed to this mission. I'm going to have a piece of that crumb every year.
Do you get nervous when you're down to like the last couple of crumbs? Like, do you think like, is this like some kind of like expiration? Like when that happens, like, it's like a plane's going to fly through our house or something like that? I don't know. I'm watching Manifest too much.
Dude.
Yeah.
Oh, you're really watching
the episodes of that. It's probably has nothing to do with that. Nothing stupid's going to happen to them. They're fine.
Okay. I think that's going to be okay, though.
They said they got the idea from an old TV game show called I've Got a Secret, which was hosted by Gary Moore, I guess.
Back in the day.
They asked someone, like, what's your secret for your marriage? And the one couple's secret was we're going to eat the last piece of our wedding cake tonight. It's 25 years old.
Oh. I like I like their plan, though. They're going to take the last few crumbs and bake it into a new cake for their 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, so the cake keeps going.
So it keeps going.
So they probably thought like I did. They're like getting worried.
Right?
Yeah, you're right, Steve. They came up with a plan. They figured out your plan, and luckily it doesn't involve any plane flying through their house.
And they're going to just freeze that cake, too?
Yeah.
No, they're going to let it sit out for 50 years. They're going to be like, hey, let's try something different. We'll leave it on the table for 50 years. Let's see how that goes. Oh, man. Well, good for them.
Yeah, I'm happy for them, man.
I mean, you know what? They looked happy in the picture. They're old. You know what? It's nice to see examples of people that figured it out.
At that point, if you're going to put the crumbs in a cake, I would go the extra mile and send it off to, like, Buddy in Hoboken.
And get a nice cake.
Yeah, have it done really nice. Not just your own cake from, like, a...
Well, you know. And not for nothing, if you have a nice heartfelt letter that you send to him, he might use it as, like, an episode on the show. And you get really, like, a sick hookup, and you'll be on television.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. You know, and...
Hoboken style, baby.
Yeah, Buddy or Duff, either one, you're going to get some good deals.
Ooh,
and,
Duff.
You know...
Duff feels like a more
Barbara.
Like a, oh, yeah. Barbara Ann can
make a nice cake for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she can do it just as good as any of those guys, if you ask me. And I know you didn't ask me, but someone should.
I don't disagree whatsoever. And Duff, though, kind of feels like the more of the romantic kind of artsy-fartsy of the Buddy versus Duff thing when I watch that show.
Well, send it to both, and then they can battle, and then you get two cakes. And so you're set for the next 500 years.
You live forever.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, have you not seen my Valentine's cakes, Hoboken style?
Nobody makes them bigger.
Yeah, dude, I mean, you know what Buddy Velastro would do? Oh, my God, there would be hearts and just ridiculous red stuff everywhere. I mean, every cartoon Valentine, the thing would be the size of a house. You know Buddy would get it done. I'm all about romance, Hoboken style. I want to see that cake. Now I really want to see that cake. It'll be so garish. It'll be so ridiculous.
They'd have to buy a new freezer just for the cake.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And just to see the... Because every time Buddy moves one of his cakes with his assistant, it's always like, I don't know if we're going to make the transaction. I don't know if it's going to make the ride. I mean, every episode.
Yeah, you're right.
Because the thing is just ridiculously huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope it makes it over there. And for one episode, just one time, I just want to see the thing just destroyed in the back. Like, they got to pay that off one time. Because every time, it's the same thing. I don't know if it's going to make it.
Yeah, you got to put the fear in there. You have the one cake that doesn't make it, so every time it's more dramatic.
And hopefully it's like that family member that looks like he's straight out of like the mafia. The one guy. Like, he's the one that messes it up.
Yeah.
Him and Buddy get into a fight.
Suddenly that assistant disappears.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Buddy disappears.
Ooh.
And we have a new guy.
Wow.
Okay. It's Buddy Jr.
Yeah, hide not Buddy.
This is how we replace the star of the show, Hoboken style.
What happened to Buddy? We took him out. Hoboken style.
Oh, geez.
That's how we do it.
I don't know if you guys have seen this list that someone put together of the wild purchases made by celebrities. I didn't know about all this stuff, but Justin Bieber's just gone up a couple of notches in my book. I gotta say.
I'm excited to hear this because I know if I was a massively rich celebrity, I would make so many terrible purchases.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, dude, as it turns out, you fit in on this list. I am very surprised at how many Steve Miggses I'm seeing on this list.
I would still have someone in my, like, I would hire somebody like, look, you're my financial advisor. Do not judge me for my financial decisions. Just let me know when I need to pump the brakes. Like, when you look at this and say, you and your family and your family's children are not going to be good for the rest of their lives. When I hit that point, then you can tell me what to do. Up until then, just keep an eye on things.
All right, well, let's see if this went over the edge. I love this. Justin Bieber bought a Cadillac CTSV and had it transformed into a Batmobile worth about $250,000.
I think that's awesome. And I'm assuming it's like Batmobile, like current versions of Batmobiles.
That's what
and
I'm
movies,
thinking.
Not the old 60s style version.
I don't know what CTSV means. So yeah, because
Vicky's showing it to me. It's the new style Batmobile.
Yeah, and the new style Batmobiles. He's got a couple of good looking versions of the new style Batmobile.
That is super cool.
All right,
I would do that.
Yeah. Oh, you would. Oh, so you would do that. So okay, we're spending your money there. All right.
Oh, he's got the Batman logo on the hood.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. Look at that in the grill. That is so awesome. Yeah. Oh, he's got the logo on the steering wheel. Love this.
It would be great if like he picks somebody up and like you're a big fan of Batman, and he just looks at them and doesn't even like poker face and everything. Just goes, nah, man. Why would you say that?
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, that would be so great if he goes, I don't know why you keep talking about Batman. I don't even know who he is.
I just thought this logo was cool.
Now this is where happier times for Kanye and Kim. They furnished their Bel Air mansion with 4 gold-plated toilets for $750,000. Who's going to get that in the divorce?
Wow.
Now, would you split them?
Kanye.
Yeah, 2 toilets each.
Yeah.
I feel like she's like, you can have it. I feel like this was a Kanye idea.
It sounds like it.
I wonder what it feels like to sit on one, though.
Cold. I was going to say probably the exact same as a normal toilet.
Like, you think? Or there's gold hold cold more than porcelain.
Oh, that's a good question. Gold
I
is.
Gold
I mean,
was never, soft too.
I never sat on gold, Danny, so I don't know.
Man. I want to sit on it.
Yeah, I would. I would want to sit on that toilet. That's. I mean, come on.
That's one of those
gold.
Situations you go over. You don't even need the bathroom. You just go and sit down on it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is it because of the color? It's a number one only.
Oh wow.
Well, like, if it's going to be an expensive gold toilet, does it at least have a bidet? Like,
that's what I'm saying,
does it have all the cool features at least?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Well, the bidet actually shoots out gold, liquid gold.
Oh, that's no good.
I now have a gold-plated bung.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? I'm not clean, but I'm worth a lot more than when I came in.
I've just got like a gold toilet dispenser, paper dispenser.
Oh, well, I think those are buttons. There's like a little fan icon. I think it does have a bidet.
Yeah, it's got a bidet.
Woo!
With a dryer on it. Good call.
Oh, well, that makes sense. If you got a bidet and you're at their neighborhood, you have a dryer to go with it. Yeah, you do. Yeah,
what kind of toilet paper do you go with on that?
Definitely double ply.
Okay.
Single ply
Scott. Do you need toilet paper with a bidet?
I thought you needed it for a second wipe. Oh, no, I guess if it does have a dryer.
If it has the dryer, I think you're pretty good with it at that point.
Depends on the type of bidet you got.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I bet that's like a high-end bidet. He's probably getting like
Wait.
He didn't get it from Wish.
It's a $750,000 toilet better have the high-end bidet. That's
gosh,
all I
have. Right?
How about Nicolas Cage?
Oh, boy.
Everyone's favorite actor. Nicolas spent almost $300,000 on a dinosaur skull before returning it to Mongolia because it turned out to be stolen.
Did he get his money back?
I don't think you do at that point.
Yeah, I don't think you do. Well, I don't think you do unless you can get the original seller and put him. But, you know, anybody that's dealing with that kind of business, do you think they just fly the coop? Because whoever sold it to him stole it.
They probably don't have like a return policy.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. He also bought the most haunted house in the country, the LaLaurie Mansion in New Orleans.
Nice.
He bought a castle in Germany.
This is so Cage knows what's up, man.
This is so.
This is my kind of dude. This is why I like Nicolas Cage or Page.
Yeah.
And Page.
He's a big geek, and he spent $150,000 on a copy of the first Superman comic.
And he's Superman fan.
Yeah. He almost played Superman, too. He was, I think, in the running for a little bit, but then they're like, nah, we're going to go.
Yeah. If you ever seen the pictures of him with that, I'm glad that they didn't.
Tim Burton's.
So my question then is, if he's got all this money to buy mansions and a castle and dinosaur skulls, why don't they just hire one of his like movie friends that has the ability and make like his own Superman movie? Even if it doesn't, like, it could be just like straight to Netflix. I bet people would pay to have it.
That's a really good point. I don't know how much you need to make it look good. Like, you know, it's one thing to have actors, but I don't know, the CGI can be expensive. But then again, if you don't need CGI, Steve, if he's just basically going to be on strings, you know.
That'd be so good.
He could probably do a pretty decent Superman for a few mil. It wouldn't be like, you know.
For a few mil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you understand what a few mil is in Hollywood times. A few mil is nothing if you're going to do a CGI movie.
I mean, I got a green screen app on my phone. I can help him.
Okay. You know what?
Don't you have that one that has little explosions and stuff,
yeah,
too?
Yeah.
Look at that. Big-time Hollywood Steve over here.
I want the app that makes all the, like, just like our box has the same sound effect that you hear on TV shows. And I go, really? Did they use the same sound effect I have on my stupid box? Okay. And I want to see Steve's app where you just see the same generic explosions. Yes. Steve, you got it, buddy.
If Nick Cage
needs
help,
making a Superman movie.
I'm more than happy to do it. It's going to cost him, but not on the level of like a Hollywood production.
Oh, whoa, hold on. Now, this is
your
first movie.
I'm not doing this
for free. It's your first movie. You can't charge like...
Oh, what?
You're
supposed to be for exposure?
What?
Yes. My time is worth money, BJ, just like anyone else.
All right, so what are we... All right, so you said for a few mil. How much of my few mil budget? Because, again, remember, I have to get one of my rich celebrity buddies here. How much do I got to pay you to do the special effects?
My first thought was five. I'll go 4 mil, though.
Oh, now it's 4 million?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
from
a few million,
Cage.
We got to keep this under 10. Yeah. Otherwise, it's more than a few million. So, all right.
That's
you're
why
taking
I said four mil.
Yeah. So you're doing 4 million. That means I only got 6 million to get actors. All right. And also get the props and everything.
Well, he's got Hollywood friends. He can probably get them to do it for free.
Okay. Oh,
I'll even star in the film with him. I'll be Lex Luthor.
Please.
Please.
So he's really, for his $4 million, he's really getting a value. He's getting an actor and a special effects genius. I didn't know this.
I mean, I have an editing app on my phone too. I can easily edit it together.
Oh, he doesn't need an editor anymore.
Many hats.
Yeah, it's gonna be a short film, but
yeah,
you know.
That's right. I mean, at this point, I think really Zack Snyder could use your help, and it's just Zack, somebody get an editor. That's all I would ask.
Release the Migs cut.
I just don't get though why he doesn't. He could easily put together. Maybe he does, and he doesn't show it to anyone. But he's got like his own Superman movie that he watches sometimes when he's bored.
Okay, that would be awesome if we don't know about this and when he passes away and then, you know, his family goes, "Oh my God, these are my dad. He was Green Lantern, he was Superman, he was Wonder Woman." All of these secret Nicolas Cage movies would be great. All right, I'm in. I am in. I mean, whatever the hell's happening here.
Better than any of the piles of Superman movies that have come out recently.
Right.
That is true.
I really can't argue with you on that. I know at this point, really, Steve's editing could have been probably, it could have saved a lot of those movies.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he did something like that, because he even named his son Kal-El.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, his youngest son is Kal-El, which is Superman's Kryptonian name.
Like, that's pretty wild.
What if your son becomes an actor and eventually becomes Superman? Do you think dad gets mad at you or is happy for you?
Oh, I mean, you did name the kid Kal-El. I mean, it was foretold.
Right. Yeah. But you got the role that he always wanted.
I know. It's a tough one, Steve. I mean, you know, it's, yeah. Oh.
Apparently, yeah. His son did the voice in a Teen Titans movie as young Bruce Wayne. So he's Batman.
Really? What the F is that all about? He's not.
He needs to be like a Superman or a Superboy or whatever.
Superboy.
He has to.
Well, he's starting somewhere, dude. First, you start off as Batman, then you work your way up to Superman. I mean, this is how it goes. Those are the rules. All right. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Who plays Mobius in the recently released show Loki?
Thomas Hiddleston.
No.
Jennifer Lawrence.
No.
Lawrence Fishburne.
No.
I like the way you were going. I don't know where you go. You got anybody after that? Burn? You got Jennifer Lawrence, Lawrence Fishburne.
Bernie McCracken.
Oh, Bernie McCracken. Okay. All right. We were on the right track.
Yeah. Great actor. Yeah, he was in this Nicolas Cage Superman movie that no one's ever seen.
Good old Bernie McCracken. It's just just underrated character actor. Actually, we were looking for Owen Wilson, but Bernie McCracken's a good guess. You want a shot at beating Steve? Yeah, all right, you got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're going to play Beat Migs. We're going to do that at 8:49 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. Here's a question from a listener. My house is currently in foreclosure. I've stopped making payments. What can I do to save my house?
If you're already in foreclosure behind on your mortgage, you can stop the foreclosure by filing a bankruptcy. There's different types of bankruptcy. Chapter 13 can help you catch up on your house payments if you're behind. It would mean that you'd have to start making your house payments again and catch up on the amount that you're behind over 5 years. You could also take off or strip off your second mortgage, which would help you to reduce your housing payment every month, especially once you're done with the plan and done catching up on your first mortgage. We could also try to buy you some time by filing a Chapter 13 case. Filing a Chapter 13 would definitely stop your foreclosure.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. And thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!